All right. Well, we can close with prayer now. Isn't that great?
We will return your call.
Let's go to 1 Peter, please. We're going to go to the book of 1 Peter. That's where we're going to start. I am, like I mentioned earlier, just been looking at a number of things in God's Word and regarding what's called our hope. And we're just going to look at a few scriptures today, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think it'll be a blessing. You know, sometimes life, just life, sometimes makes us a little dull. Do you ever have that happen? Who ever heard of such a thing? Sometimes things in life kind of crowd out some of the things that we're going to look at this morning regarding eternity and regarding eternal life. And that is by design. That's the way the world is set up. But because of God's great grace, even at those times, we cannot lose what we've been given because it was accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. But at those times where we get our head into God's Word and start looking at and thinking about some of these things, it's a lot of fun. Because it's what we look forward to. And it's what's going to happen. It's what's going to happen. So I wanted to begin here in 1 Peter. I think most of these scriptures are going to be pretty familiar to most of you. But 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again." That word begotten is in reference to his being our Father. That's the new birth. We'll see a little bit more of this as we go. But has begotten us again unto a lively or living hope. He's begotten us again unto a living hope. See, that's the point. Begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from or out from among the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible. It does not decay. It is undefiled. It's pure. And that fades not away. You know what that means? That means eternity. That's what that means. Fades not away. Isn't that something? We were born again, begotten unto what we're reading here, unto this. Okay? Now, there are things in between that are awesome, wonderful, great. And we'll see some of that. But this is the point. Now, I want you, with this in mind, let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. That great hope that we have. It's referred to, or will take place in what is called the day of Christ in God's Word. That day of Christ, which for his body, his church, his saints, those of us who have confessed him as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, that day is going to be a day of rest and comfort. It's going to be a time of amazing joy and rejoicing, of freedom
and great glory. Isn't that something? We will, when this is done, we're going to stand before our Lord Jesus Christ, unimpeachable and unaccused. And that's something, we're going to be like Him. That's what the Word lays out. This is what we were begotten unto. And we're going to read it again here in Romans 8. Romans 8, we're going to begin in verse 18. This is preceded by those some of those things that we've received from God by the work of Jesus Christ. And that lifestyle, not of bondage, see, but where we can cry, Abba, Father. We're joint heirs. Now, verse 18 kind of drills down a little bit. Verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us," is how it should read. With the glory that shall be revealed to us. This word revealed, it means to take the cover off of something. That's something. With the glory that's going to be revealed to us. Now we'll look a little bit more at this in a few minutes. But it's the cover's coming off. Whoa! It's going to be revealed. Then it says, "For the earnest expectation," or the intense yearning. The intense yearning of the word creature is the word creation. Of the creation is waiting. It is waiting for the manifestation or the revealing of the sons of God. That's something. The whole creation is waiting on this. Waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject or was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope, or hath subjected this creation upon a hope. We're going to see in the Word that God is the God of hope. He's the originator, the author of hope. That's who He is. That's our Father. This takes us all the way back to Genesis 3. When, after the fall of man, the first thing that God left them with was a hope ringing in their ears. See? He authored it. And He subjected the creation to that. Because there's a day coming when the creation... We're going to... Well, let's just read it. Okay. Here we go. It's coming up, next verse. Why don't they ever read the next verse? Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Or more accurately, delivered from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Yes. That's how that would more accurately read. That's something? The freedom of the children of God. See, this is part of what's going to be revealed to us when that cover comes off. See? For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. This bondage of corruption is likened to labor in childbirth. That's what it's likened to. You know, any of you women that have had a child, you understand this. It's like labor. So, you know, in labor, you pretty intently want that baby to be born, right? Yeah, you're waiting on that. Let's go. Right? That's what it's like for the creation. Waiting for the revealing of the children of God. See? And not only, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we groan, ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That hope, that day of Christ, is referred to as a day of redemption. It comes up in Ephesians 2. See, it's, and what that means is that which was purchased by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ will be redeemed. It will be, you know, it's paid for, but it will be fully realized at that day. That's right. Right. You know, it says in Ephesians, we'll read it, but it's kind of fun talking about it. Our bodies are going to be redeemed. And that's in reference to the new bodies that we're going to have. See? Isn't that something? This is all part of what the cover is going to be taken off of in that day when we're gathered. And then it says, for we were saved unto hope. Oh, I should have finished reading that verse. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we were saved, and it should read, unto hope. The word by is the word for unto. Similar to what we read in 1 Peter, isn't it? We were begotten again unto a living hope. Here it's, we were saved unto hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For if you see it, why are you still hoping for it? Right? That's why it's called a hope. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See, when we understand this hope that is being talked about here, that's being spoken of, it will produce patience. And this patience isn't like, you know, a mealy-mouthed, weak, you just put up with stuff. That's not it. There's a strength to it. There's an end in sight. There's a goal in mind. See? When you're heading somewhere, or it's like you're driving somewhere, you know, and you know where you're going to land. So you can put up with the 2 hours, right? Or whatever, to get to where you're going. Boy, the kids sound like they're having fun, huh? Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I wanted to read this. You know, God seeks the humble heart. And the more you learn about our Heavenly Father and His greatness, it just, humility will result from that. And you realize how little we are compared to our Heavenly Father. But there's something we get to boast about. And that's what He's going to do in the future. It's our hope. Isn't that great? We don't boast about ourselves. We don't boast about our works. We don't boast about what we do or don't do. We get to boast about what God's going to do by grace. It's pretty awesome. Verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's done. We're at peace. By whom also, Jesus Christ, we have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand and boast in hope of the glory of God. We're going to see by the end of this thing that grace and this hope are just so linked, because it's all God's grace. See? We have access into this grace wherein we stand and boast. That's that word rejoice. The word for rejoice is boast. We boast in hope of the glory of God. Of the glory of God. That's part of what's going to be revealed to us. And not only, but we boast, that word glory is also boast, because of this hope, because of what we've been called to, we boast in tribulations. Tribulations are stuff that comes up. It's just pressures and things that are part of life. Knowing that mental pressure or tribulation works or produces patience. Patience, a proving. That word experience is a proving. And an experience or proving produces hope. And then it says, and this is what I wanted to get to, is hope that we boast in, and hope makes not ashamed. Okay? Now I want to explain that for a minute before we read the rest of the verse. This word ashamed, it means to be put to shame. And the putting to shame is a result of your expectations not being met. Do you understand? It's like, have you ever hyped something for somebody? You got to see this movie. It's like the best movie ever. And then they're watching it, and 10 minutes in, it's like, okay, maybe it's not the best movie ever. Maybe it's the second movie. Second, third, yeah. And then like 2 more minutes, it's like, okay, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. Sorry. A little embarrassed here. Let's move on. That's not going to happen with the hope. We're not going to be disappointed. And I'll tell you something. This is really cool. Yeah, we can do this. Let's do this. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 9. Not to be disappointed. We're not going to be disappointed in our expectations regarding our hope. That's the first of 4 times God tells us you're not going to be disappointed in your expectations. Isn't that something? Romans chapter 9. Verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. Now, this is regarding those who don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, they're offended by him. They stumble at him. But, or and, whosoever believes on him shall not be what? Right. You're not going to be disappointed in your expectations. Isn't that something? Let's go to, flip a page, Romans 10. You may not even have to flip a page. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, and that word saved is the word for delivered. You will be delivered. You know another thing our hope's called? It's called the day of deliverance. That's something? Yeah. For with the heart man believes, or it is believed unto righteousness. You know what something else our hope's called? It's called the hope of righteousness. That's right. In Galatians it says, we wait for the hope of righteousness by way of spirit. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto deliverance. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be disappointed in their expectations. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. It's awesome. It's just beautiful. It comes up again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Write it down. But it's the same thing. Let's just read it for fun. This is great. 1 Peter 2. Or I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. Verse 6 of 1 Peter 2. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believes on him shall not be. And that word confounded is the same word as put to shame. Disappointed in your expectations. Isn't that something? So it doesn't matter how big an imagination you have, how active an imagination you have, you will not be disappointed in your expectations. See, you won't be disappointed. And really, when it comes to our gathering together to Jesus Christ, it's really, there's not a whole lot more than the opening event that is really talked about in God's Word. But it's going to be a glorious opening event, I mean to tell you. Isn't that something? Let's go to
Second Thessalonians, I wanted to show you this. Romans 8, we read regarding the glory that would be revealed to us. And then it talked about how the creation is waiting to be delivered from that bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. See, and it will be a day of great glory. I don't know what it's all going to look like, but I imagine our mouths are going to be open. You know? But I wanted to look at 2 Thessalonians. And I should turn there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, don't go anywhere. Just stay put. Now, this is one of those verses that it's almost silly to just read and move on. This is one of those verses where you just sit back and you think about it. We're called to obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to. That's what we're going to end up with. I don't know all that that's going to look like. But I know this, I will not be disappointed in my expectations. That's all I know. Let's go to Colossians. Here's a verse we all know. Colossians chapter 1. Talking about the mystery. That mystery of the one new man. Of Jew, Judean, Gentile. Makes no difference. They become one new man. See? That body of Christ. And the gathering of that body was part of that mystery. You can't find it in Scripture. You can't find it in the Old Testament. It wasn't revealed until after Christ accomplished all he did, and things from at some point after the day of Pentecost, it was revealed. Talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. See? And it's regarding that gathering together. You can read a verse in Acts 3 where it talks about Jesus Christ coming, but it's coming to the earth in restoration of all things at the beginning of Acts. See? Something. Oh, and we'll be with him. But Colossians, verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're going to see in a minute that we have the first fruits of the Spirit. It's also called Christ in you, and it's the hope of what?
Glory.
Of glory. Yeah. That's right. See? It's a living hope. It's a living hope. It's not something that's just dangled out there. We have the down payment. We have the proof. We have the hope of that coming glory born within. Isn't that awesome? It's a living hope. That's what we were called unto. Let's go to Romans 15. I mentioned this and I thought we ought to read it. Romans 15. We read in Romans 8 how he had subjected that creation upon a hope. And this is pretty awesome. Let's read verse 4 and 5, and then we'll go down to where I want to get to. Verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience," is how it should read, "and the comfort of the Scriptures might have the hope." That's how it should read. Now, the God of the patience and the consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. See? He's the God of the comfort. He's the God of the consolation. Do you know that our hope in one place is described as everlasting comfort? Isn't that something? That's better than any mattress you can buy. Everlasting comfort. Then you get down to verse 13. Now, the God of hope. He's the God of it. Fill you with all joy and peace in the believing, is how it should read, that you may abound in the hope through the power of Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. That you may abound in what? Hope. You know what that means? You overflow with hope. You're overflowing with it. You got, many of us are familiar with the scripture in Peter where it says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. You know why they'd ask? Because you're overflowing with it. Right? You're overflowing with it. Things don't take you out like they take out the guy next to you. Because of the return of Jesus Christ. Because you know that you know that you know. It's a living hope. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
See? That's ordering our lives in light of that hope. That's what we look at. See? And then our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our dilemmas, our whatever, they just get put in proper perspective. And you know what else living the hope does? You know what else overflowing with hope does? It makes it easier to believe your Heavenly Father. It does. See? Because you're not so greatly influenced by the senses and by the stuff that's going on. Because your head's somewhere else. Isn't that awesome? It's just great stuff. Let's go to... we got to go here. Ephesians chapter 1. On your way to Ephesians chapter 1, I am going to reread a verse. In Romans 8. You don't have to just... You go ahead to Ephesians 1. In verse 23, we read this. It says, and not only, referring to the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption or the inheritance of sonship. See, the redemption of our body. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, I think we read this last week, if I remember right. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 13. In whom you also trusted, referring to Christ, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your deliverance. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. You're sealed up, meaning you belong to God. You got His seal on you, and you're sealed with what? Holy Spirit of what? Promise of what? Well, let's read the next verse. Yeah. Verse 14. Which is the deposit of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Isn't that awesome? That spirit of promise, the promise is the redemption. It's the inheritance. We're going to read a little bit more about that in just a minute. But it's the inheritance, the redemption of our bodies that it's going to happen at the return of Jesus Christ. See, that's where we look. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Oh boy, I better get moving here. This is great stuff to look at, isn't it?
Amen, brother. That's right.
Is that what I wanted? Oh, verse 21. In light of, or let's start in verse 20. For our citizenship
Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look, or we patiently wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile or humiliated body. See? That, you know, that humiliated body, it's really something, because again, it refers back to what took place when Adam did what he did. And the humiliation to the physical body that took place is not at all what God intended. Not at all what God intended for his man. That's something. God did not intend for his people to, you know, go through some of the things they go through. Go through a lot of the things they go through. But he's going to fix that. It's going to be fixed. Isn't that beautiful? That it may be fashioned or take on the same form unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even subdue all things unto himself. Isn't that something? See, that day of redemption, the redemption of our body, part of that is having a body that will be fashioned like his. See, he's the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn, it says in Romans 8, among many brethren. And in Hebrews it says he's not ashamed to call us brethren.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
That's right.
We're going to have bodies fashioned like unto his. Amen, it's all part of our hope. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, and then we're going to... You guys okay here?
Yeah, right on, brother.
Okay, 1 John chapter 3. Behold, verse 1, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and we are, is how it reads in the text. That we should be called the sons of God, and we are. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. The world doesn't get it, but it didn't get Jesus Christ either. Beloved, now are we the sons of the children of God. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. It hasn't been revealed yet. But the day's coming when the cover's coming off. Right? It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he what? In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, we will fully know as we are fully known.
Amen.
See? That's right.
That's right.
It's something. So what we've been made in Christ, all that we have, all that he accomplished, what righteousness is, the justification, all that he did, we're going to see it in that day. And we'll have a body fashioned like his. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And that word purify is the word for sanctifies. He sanctifies himself even as he is sanctified or pure. You know what that means? And we'll see a little bit more about it in a minute. God, I wish we had more time. But this sanctify is to separate yourself out. See? Because we have an end. We have a hope that is sure, a hope that we're headed toward, a hope that we live in light of. See? We understand what God's grace is. And we're gonna close with that. We understand what grace teaches us. That grace of God that we look forward to, of which the gathering together is only the beginning. It is the beginning of him demonstrating the riches of his grace to us in Christ Jesus. It's just the beginning. All this, what we're reading about, the new bodies, the righteousness, the glory, all that's going to be revealed to us, all that's going to be revealed in us, is just the beginning of him exhibiting the riches of his grace.
See? And it's understanding that grace and knowing what that grace is that teaches us to live not like the world lives. That's what grace teaches. Do you understand? And that's some of what living in light of the hope looks like. See? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. And then we're going to... yeah, we got a couple more to look at. Pretty cool. 1 Thessalonians 5. He believes unto salvation, unto deliverance. I mentioned that earlier. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But let us, verse 8, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of believing and love, and for a helmet, the hope of deliverance. That's your helmet. Isn't that something? For God has not appointed us to what?
Wrath.
That's right. Has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. When God appoints you to something, you're appointed. It's done. You understand? We're not appointed to wrath. God appointed us to what?
Salvation.
Salvation, deliverance. Because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will not be disappointed. See? Now, let's go to Titus. There's a great verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, where it talks about an entrance being ministered unto you abundantly by Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? That entrance being ministered unto you abundantly by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right on, brother.
And that's part of his... Quiet down. That's part of his responsibility as forerunner. You know... It says in Hebrews that he's forerunner, right?
Yep.
And that forerunner, what they would do in this culture was he would clear all the any obstacles. He would make sure the roads were open for whatever dignitary was coming behind. In addition, he would also be the one who would open up the city gates and make the announcement. That's something. Jesus Christ is our forerunner. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Talk about humility. You know, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, opening the gate for us and announcing us.
Amen.
See, that's just part of what's going to happen. Isn't that something? See, these are the things we look forward to, and it's going to happen. See, because it's a living hope, and we got the Spirit of God born within. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus 2. And then we'll close in Ephesians. I need to read that verse that I mentioned earlier. Titus. Timothy? Titus. Ah, this is awesome. Okay. All right. Verse 11. It says, for the grace of God, the grace of God that brings salvation or deliverance. It's grace. You know what that means? That means you didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. Okay, so you just got to get past that. And it is... really speaks to the greatness of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which is why God raised him from the dead and why it marks him out as Lord, nobody else. For the grace of God that brings deliverance has appeared to all men, teaching us that. This is what this grace of God that's appeared teaches. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts or cravings, we should live soberly. That means, you know, basically means soundly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking. Looking, and it should read, and this verse is somewhat butchered in the King James, so I'll read it how it should have been translated. But the word blessed is the word for happy. And it would read, looking for the happy hope. It's a happy hope. Isn't that cool? A happy hope. That's one of the descriptors. I think there are three in God's Word. One is a living hope. Then it's called a happy hope. And I forget the third one. But it's good. Anyway, it's a happy hope. Okay? So, we're looking for the happy hope. And then it should read, and the appearing of the great, I'm sorry, and the appearing of the glory of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. See? It's a happy hope. That's what we look to. That's what we're waiting for. Just like the creation is, we too wait. That's where we're heading. That's what we look at. Now, let's close with Ephesians. Chapter 2. I mentioned this earlier and I just want to read it. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And that word quickened us together means to be made alive. The word quickened means make alive. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, in terms of our rights and privileges as the sons of God, we read earlier, we're citizens of heaven. In terms of our rights and privileges and authority, we're seated in the heavenlies. But there's a day coming when we will be seated in the heavenlies. That's our hope. That day of redemption.
Amen, brother.
See? And then it says, where did I leave off? Oh, here I am. Okay, I lost my place, sorry. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenlies, that in the ages to come he might show or exhibit the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through or in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. Isn't that something? That in the ages to come, that's the purpose. That's the purpose. So that God can demonstrate to us the riches of his grace and his kindness. You know, in the Gospel of John, not talking about the gathering, but it does talk about eternal life. In the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ said, the purpose is that you might know God. Isn't that something? We will. We're going to be introduced by our Lord Jesus Christ. See? And all of that is our hope. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what we live in light of. That's what we were born again unto. That's the point. See? Is that eternal life that's been promised by a God and Father who cannot lie. He can't. Amen?
Amen.
All right.